many of us in technical fields were taught that success comes through individual achievement and outperforming others. But what if that mindset actually is what's holding you back?
I'm Dr. James Bryant, and you're listening to the Engineer Your Success Podcast.
Success isn't just about what you achieve. It's about living a life that reflects your values and priorities. Welcome to Engineer Your Success, the podcast that helps you lead with intention and live fulfilled.
I want to welcome Melissa Drake to the show. Can you please give our podcast listening audience a brief introduction to yourself?
Absolutely. So I did a TEDx in March of 2019, and it was a talk that I had written probably a year and a half before I delivered it. I wrote it with this inspiration that collaboration is the way to our abundant future. And I just kind of sat on it until it rose to the surface. I happened to be traveling in Austin, Texas. I'm actually from Iowa, but I live in California. And I was in Austin for a conference. I met someone who was doing a TEDx. We connected. That's how it opened up, the opportunity to deliver the TEDx. And it was an experience for sure. We spent several weeks, I want to say like 10 weeks every Saturday with all of us delivering our talk and getting feedback. And of course, the talk morphed over time into what was actually delivered. But the heart of it is collaboration is the way we win. Okay. And it's possible for all of us to win.
Cool. So collaboration is the way that we win. And for those who are listening, we're going to include a link to the TEDx talk there in the show notes. But Melissa, could you just tell the audience real quickly, just a brief overview about you?
Overview about me. Well, first and foremost, I'm a mom. My son just got married. He's 29 years old. And I spent 25 years in the corporate world, working in insurance, doing mostly anything and everything related to communication, marketing, branding, those sort of things. And just as my son was going away to college, I contracted two concurrent really yucky illnesses, and I lost my job. I was a director reporting to the CEO. The CEO was leaving, restructure, I'm out. And so at that point, I had a choice to make. And of course, they gave me a severance package and all of the opportunities to find another like job. And I was like, you know what? Nah, this isn't how I want to spend my life. And I had a few months before gone to like a healer, and she told me 100% of my heart was invested in insurance. And she said, are you sure that's where you want your heart invested? And I was like, absolutely not. No, that's not my heart. So I really took some time then to think about what I wanted to do and what it would take to make that happen. And so instead of going back the corporate route, I sold my home in Iowa and moved to Southern California and became an entrepreneur. And that's almost 10 years ago now.
And so as an entrepreneur, what do you do?
I help people tell stories and publish stories. So books, articles, corporate communications. I also do marketing, branding, all that kind of consulting. I'm kind of have a lot of different skills I like to offer, but my primary focus is helping people write and publish books.
Helping people write and publish books, helping people tell stories, helping brands tell their story. So getting back to the TEDx talk and what you were talking about, I think you mentioned that there's really a stark difference between those who compete versus those who collaborate. Can you paint a picture for us, just this difference between competing and collaboration?
I think the best story for this is one that I use in my talk. And that is when people are individual contributors and they're out for themselves. They're literally like, that's it. They're out for themselves, versus collaborators are looking to how can they help other people. And then also there's this understanding that there's always enough to go around. So there's an abundance mindset. They know that their skills are unique and no one else can take away from their skill. And it's not going to hurt them to help another person. Sometimes when we're in this competitive mindset, we're like, me, 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 I got to grab all that I can for myself and not even thinking about your neighbor and trying to help them too. Where collaboration is like, hey, let's go. We're all going to go together. So the story I used in my talk was one of my collaborators, I was helping him with getting some speaking engagements. And I was like, do you think I could take this process and make it my own and offer it? And someone who has a scarcity mindset would have said, no, that's mine. Like, I did all of the work. You can't take that. And he said, I hope you make $1 million. Take it. Do what you want. And that was fascinating. Like, I'd never heard that before because we're so, oh, she used my words or she used my whatever or she copied me. Well, we're all copying everybody. Like, literally everybody's saying the same thing in a different version. So how do you hold on to your version in a way that makes sense?
And just being able to freely collaborate, understanding that there's more than enough to go around. And by helping others, you actually help yourself as well. And you create an avenue for you to co-build and open up different doors by taking that approach. In the people that you work with, in the stories that you developed for your TEDx talk, what are some of the barriers that come into play that stop people from collaborating?
Well, I think scarcity thinking is number one. Mm-hmm. And it's easy to fall into because that's how society is set up. Everybody's out for themselves. It's dog eat dog world. But then also being open-minded to other perspectives, I can be kind of controlling. I like things the way I like them. But if I were to stay in that mode, I wouldn't ever see any possibilities. Like being able to delegate is super important for collaboration. Being able to trust the people that you're, that's number one. If you don't have someone you can trust, you can't effectively collaborate with them. So it starts with being a person of integrity and being someone that you can trust. The people that have a hard time collaborating may not have the most integrity. So that's where it has to start. It has to start within being trustworthy and telling the truth, especially when it hurts. And that's the challenging part.
Okay. And so where does authenticity fall within that thought process or that discussion?
Thank you for that. That is everything. And as you've seen in the last, I did the talk 5 years ago, and as society has evolved, you've seen all the discussion about authenticity being the highest vibration, and that's magnetic and that's exciting. But it's also like 5 years ago, people didn't necessarily want to see authentic expression. And I would say even today, not a lot of people want to see authentic expression. They may want to see it, but they also are like, that's a little much, or that doesn't fit into the parameters of what it's supposed to look like. So it goes back to the open-mindedness I talked about before, and knowing that the right path may look different. It may not be what we've always done.
And I think when I think about authenticity, people often may not know or want to see it, but oftentimes they want to experience it because there's something special that happens when you are experiencing someone opening up and being their authentic self. Sometimes the raw emotions of authenticity may be what's needed for that moment.
Yeah.
So that people can be seen and be heard and be valued.
That's where it's at. If you want to collaborate with others, let them be seen, heard, and valued first, and then collaborate.
Leadership comes with high expectations. Too many responsibilities, too little time, and the constant pressure to keep up. If you're feeling stretched thin, you're not alone. At Engineer Your Success, we help leaders take back control so that they can lead with confidence, delegate effectively, and stop running on empty. You don't have to choose between success and sanity. Let's build a leadership plan that works for you. Visit EngineerYourSuccessNow.com today because thriving isn't just for others, it's for you. Okay, so what are some of the tools, tricks, or frameworks that you use to help people tell their stories?
Well, it starts with authenticity and the raw truth. I think a lot of people are, especially when they've had a challenging past, afraid of telling the truth. How will I be judged? What will people think of me? And even if we don't actually use that part in their story, I always recommend that they write it in full with the most emotion they can possibly muster, because that in itself is healing. Again, whether we use it or not in the story, it doesn't matter. Just the act of getting it out of your body, out of your mind, and onto paper, there's value there. So writing a book, to me, is an integration process. It is a process where we go through what we've learned, where we do cross-sectional analysis and all of the tools that you use in your business, I use for books. It's just a little bit softer, I guess.
You're asking people to get into their raw emotions, to just have that expression of themselves. That is not necessarily an easy thing to do.
Absolutely not.
What we would say is simple, but it's not easy. And so I can just imagine, as you're working with people and they're going through this process, they're uncovering layer after layer of things that they thought they dealt with, or things that they thought didn't matter, or things that they undervalued.
All of your limiting beliefs and all of your fears come up when you're writing a book. That's why it's so important to have someone like me walk beside you. So that, and my editor, the person I worked with on my own books, is also a coach too. So I've had that experience of what it feels like to be like, Sean, I can't do this. What am I thinking? How, and then he can, yeah, Melissa, you got it. It's okay. And just be that cheerleader along the way. And I think so many people get, and I really think everyone need, whether they write a book or not, that experience of telling and healing their story through writing is powerful. It's one of the most powerful personal development things we could ever do.
I can only imagine that you've seen some pretty powerful transformations of people, the before and after, them being able to tell their story. Are there any stories that you can share about that? You know how to solve tough technical problems, but leading people, that's a different challenge. Stepping into leadership means more than just knowing your stuff. It's about inspiring, communicating, and navigating challenges with confidence. At Engineer Your Success, we help technical pros like you grow into leaders who just don't manage the work, but lead the people who do. If you're ready to lead with clarity and impact, visit engineeryoursuccessnow.com today, because thriving isn't just for others, it's for you.
Absolutely. Like two of my favorite clients that I've worked with, and I literally love all of my clients. They're fantastic. I'm blessed. And I wish I had their books right here in front of me, but I don't. But one of my clients, her daughter was 2.5 years old and drowned in a pool. And after her daughter passed, she wrote one of the most beautiful books I've ever read. It's called Remember All It Is. And so being able to hold her hand and walk her through that process was absolutely amazing. And just seeing that transformation of the most unimaginable grief you can fathom to owning and accepting the process was fascinating. I've got a couple of authors that have similar, just heart-wrenching stories that still show the work of God, still coming out on the inspirational, positive side. It's just fascinating. And then I have business books and recovery books. What I love most is that all of the books that I work with are related in some way to my life. So I'm able to have that really great connection with my authors and working with their stories.
So a lot of what you talked about are the authors and the individual stories. Do you work with companies and organizations as well?
Absolutely. One of my favorite things that I did for a client was they were building a medical retreat in Costa Rica and they wanted to partner with another organization. So I went to that other organization just really, really to understand their brand promise, what they were about. And I wrote them a message from the organization I was working for saying, hey, we're really aligned and let's, and I used it all in their language. Like it was great. And they responded immediately and set up a meeting with our founder the next day. That was fun. That was really cool. Like I like getting in the heads of other people or other people's vision. I like seeing that and then helping them go as far as they possibly can. I'm also very involved with a Native American community and help them. That's one of my pro bono accounts that I work with and help them with their brand story and promotion of their initiatives.
So Melissa, many of the people that are listening are technical professionals. They may be business owners with a technical background. We talk a lot on this podcast about helping them design and live a life where they can win at work and at home, where they can thrive both in business and in life. What kind of suggestions or pieces of advice would you have for our listening audience to meet at that intersection?
So I would say take care of yourself first, always and in all ways, healthy mind, spirit, body, meditation, exercise. I love to go walking. I live in California. The sunshine is beautiful here. So like getting time in sunshine, spending time with community, family members, that has to come first. And I find in the times when I don't do that, everything is more challenging.
In this next segment, I'm going to share some business growth strategies with Melissa. As many of you know, beyond executive coaching, I also help solopreneurs and small businesses build and scale. Listen for practical strategies that may apply to your own entrepreneurial journey. If you're ever stuck or trying to figure something out, remember to apply a little bit of curiosity. Begin to ask yourself the question, what if? What if collaboration truly is the way we all win? What's the biggest challenge that you faced in growing your business?
Maintaining a current stable flow of clients. And particularly with books, it's a one and done kind of thing. It's not like I'm going to be working with this client for the rest of their life or for years or more. So that churn has been more challenging for me. I haven't done any ads or anything like that. It's been word of mouth. So that's been the hardest.
What kind of strategies do you have to engage your former clients?
Email is the primary one. I can't say I've been using it all that much lately.
Have you ever talked to your book clients about the possibility of starting a podcast?
I have not. Trying to think of any. One of them is actually a big podcaster. And I think one of them is going to start. But no, I haven't. But I think that's great.
I mean, I think it's something to explore and something you may be able to tap into, whether from an affiliate perspective or whatever, to continue to get some revenue from those existing clients.
Yes, I love that. The other thing I'm working on is kind of related, which is helping them book themselves on podcast. So like the woman I mentioned who had the story about her daughter, she was on a big name podcast and sold 400 books in one session just from being on the podcast. So something like that, the PR services would be a great addition as well.
Okay. So for those that know me, that are here in the show, that are in my world, I do the executive coaching, technical professionals, but I also help people build businesses. And so it's hard for me not to put on that hat as we're talking. So that's why I'm diving into those questions and asking those questions, just because that's kind of how my brain is wired and how I'm naturally thinking to kind of put those pieces together. How can there be some collaboration? We started this talking about collaboration. And so if you think about collaborating with people that are putting on podcasting programs or other kind of affiliate marketing type programs, that could be a way for you to fill the gap that you may have or to keep the flow steady into the future.
Yeah. Absolutely. The other thing that's been challenging for me as a solopreneur is when I was employed and I'd become overwhelmed with all the tasks, I loved being able to go to my CEO boss and be like, okay, boss, I've got these 15 things. And he's like, here's your top three. I miss that, like someone telling me exactly what to do on my own devices here. That's been a little challenging. I miss that directive sometimes.
Yeah. And I think really part of the challenge, there is no one determining your priorities. So you have to determine those priorities. And we all have competing priorities. We have things that we want to do.
Yep.
Things that we like to do. Things that we just don't like to do. And so when you find yourself procrastinating or not moving forward toward the task that you want, it's always a great thing to notice it, have that level of awareness, and just sit with that. Is this serving me? And, you know, it could be that you're getting up every day, slightly reprioritizing what your tasks are, depending on what it is that you have to accomplish. But I think it's really good to make sure that you have something that you're working towards. I know it is for me, because if I don't, then anything, any email, any thought that comes through, it's really easy for me to get distracted. So I have to make sure that those top tasks are top of mind.
Yes, absolutely. And the other thing that's been helpful too is, particularly for the things that I absolutely can't stand to do, is who can I outsource this to?
Yes.
Who can I delegate this to? And how can that keep me moving forward? There are a couple of times in my entrepreneurship where I just doubled down on outsourcing and it paid off big, just because it enabled me to focus on what I do best, which is this, not mm-hmm. necessarily the heads down Excel spreadsheet kind of stuff.
Yeah. We take clients through a process, what we call delegate, eliminate, and automate. So you're going to look at any of those three. What can you delegate? Okay, of those activities, is this something that you can eliminate? If you still need to continue, and eliminate may be that you are just going to stop doing it, or you're going to outsource it. But then there are also some activities, particularly with AI and the different tools that are available now, are these things that you can actually automate where it's a light touch by you or the person you're delegating it to? I found that process very helpful.
Yeah. And I, if you don't mind, I'd love to mention something about AI. And that is, I wrote recently on my Facebook about using AI as emotional bypassing, because I talked earlier about how when people are writing a book, it's such an unearthing emotional process. Mm-hmm. And so if you're going to use your AI to write your book, you're missing that healing. Yeah. However, me as an emotional person, sometimes that's valuable to emotionally bypass, to just go straight to AI and say, how do I say this? I don't like AI for writing because I'm a writer. So I think that's kind of natural. But I have been having a blast having AI synthesize information for me. Yes. And to be able to say, okay, I've got these three things. Can you find the tie between them? And I mean, I've been fascinated. I've just recently, I would say in the last 3 months, gotten into it, and I'm having fun. Like, it feels like I'm the kind of person that I could spend a half hour talking about and finding the right word. And there are very few people who can do that with me, but ChatGPT does it all day long.
Well, Melissa, I've really enjoyed our conversation. It's really been light and fun. We've talked about your TEDx experience, the whole beauty of collaboration. For those of you that didn't kind of pick up on it, as we've been talking toward the end, we're talking about collaboration and creating and the different ideals that we may have. These are absolutely things that you can use with your teams. Just, you know, think about the mindset shift between competing to collaborating. You think about, you have your team and there are people that are really competitive. But when you open up the door for collaboration, when you open up the door to apply curiosity, then it opens up ways for you to be better creators, to be better engineers, to be more innovative, and absolutely be better communicators. We're going to put your contact information in the show notes. You had talked about a special gift that you had for the podcast audience.
Absolutely. So I have put together a template and a 50-page course on how to create something from nothing. This particular one is geared toward writing books, but it's the same thing that I use to create everything in my career, whether that's a website or a training manual or a book. So that can be accessed at awakenyourinnerauthor.com. If you want to write a book and you have no idea where to start, this will walk you through all of the steps and give you links to resources to help you along the way.
Oh, that's fantastic, Melissa. The audience will really find value from that. I typically will get toward the end of the interview, and then I'll ask the guests, I'll turn the tables and make you the interviewer and me the interviewee. Do you have any questions for me?
I do. So, of course. I'm looking at your beautiful background, and I'm assuming that's your family and the way that you like to spend your time outside of this. And I'm wondering, what's your number one idea or suggestion for people to be able to fully enjoy and appreciate the background that you have there?
So the background that I have, those of you that are looking on YouTube or follow us on YouTube will know I have one wall of past podcast guests. I have another wall that is more businessy, just a black background. And then I also have the wall that's behind me right now, which is my family and friends. And so for me, it serves as a visual of what brings me joy. So as I'm talking to you, yes, I'm looking at Melissa, but I also see these pictures of my family and friends that just continue to bring me joy. I talk about designing and living a life where you can win at work and at home. This is all about winning at home. Those relationships that you have, the relationships that you build, the smiling faces, just trying to capture those moments so that I can always remember what's important for me.
Beautiful. I love that. So one of the stories that I used in the last book that I wrote was The Orgasmic Entrepreneur. And the title is way more exciting than the actual book content. But one of the stories that I used was our chief sales officer came in when I was working corporate. And when he introduced himself to the organization, one of the first things he said was, "I love my wife and I have a beautiful life at home." Yes. And that makes it better for me to do my work here. And I remember that being, and this was, I don't know, 15, 20 years ago, that was the first time I'd ever heard a professional in that, at that level, talk about his home life and talk about it so positively and bringing it into the office. And I think that's essential. So I love that that's your background and that's what you share.
Melissa, I'm going to end this podcast episode like I end every podcast episode. And that's this: many people know what to do. Fewer people know how to do it. And there's a select group of people that actually follow through, do it, and are living the life of their dreams. Melissa, I want to thank you for being part of that select few and helping people collaborate and not compete. Thank you.
Thank you, James.